This is All In. I'm Jill Sheridan. Today we're talking about the Indiana Daily Student, the student-run newspaper at IU Bloomington that's existed for over 150 years. Recent editorials published in the IDS detail its financial situation and warn that the paper might not be sustainable. If you have questions or comments on our show today, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All In Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail, call us at 866-476-3881. Send us high-quality voice messages with our smartphone app called All In Vox Pop. It's free and easy to use. Just search for All In Vox Pop on your phone's app store. And we're joined now by Jim Rodenbusch, director of the Indiana Daily Student. Jim, thanks for taking time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So before we get into this, can you kind of explain how the IDS works in terms of journalistic independence and the way that finances are tied to the university?
Yeah, you know, the IDS is owned by Indiana University, but it is classified within the university as an auxiliary organization. You know, as an auxiliary, we are responsible for generating our own revenue. We receive no money from the university. You know, in terms of journalism, you know, integrity, journalism independence, it does afford us you know, the opportunity to, you know, because we received no funding from the university, you know, to be able to kind of cover the university in a way that a news organization would, was sort of giving us the freedom to not kind of worry about oversight and things that you could be concerned about or that you might expect if you were receiving, you know, funding from the university. And so to that end, there is a certain amount of freedom that the students enjoy because of that setup.
Can you talk a little bit about your role as director? What are you in, sort of an in-between for students at the paper and the IU administration?
No, in fact, in terms of, you know, IU administration, my day-to-day responsibilities, there is minimal to zero contact. I mean, you know, I have responsibilities toward, you know, the business operations of the IDS. But to that end, I also have an advertising director and a professional staff that I manage. At the same time, I also, you know, serve as a newsroom advisor. You know, I have a journalism background. And so any sort of, you know, day-to-day questions that might come up, that's also something that would, you know, sort of fall in my lap as well.
So let's talk about that business side. You know, we know that's why we're chatting today is that, you know, there's a financial situation at the IDS right now. Can you explain?
Well, you know, we were hit hard. Let me backtrack. You know, the idea of generating our own revenue, you know, certainly affords lots of opportunities from the editorial side. The downside to that is that we are no different than any other news organization in existence right now in that, you know, financing and revenue has been a struggle. And it was a struggle before, you know, the coronavirus sort of shut things down last March. And once that happened, that really accelerated some issues on our end to where it turned from a five-year issue, you know, things that we were dealing with, things that might happen down the road, to something that kind of fell into our laps and became a very immediate crisis in front of us.
So there was an update to a situation that was given in an editorial last week. Can you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, you know, once our situation was sort of made public, there was a follow-up from Indiana University on the administrative level to where we have been given the opportunity to essentially, you know, operate from a deficit for a period of 3 years beginning next year. So really 3.5 years at this point. That was sort of unexpected. It wasn't the answer that I would have thought. But that's also a bit of good news, you know, a bit of encouraging news because it offered a little bit of clarity on this, you know, this general unknown situation. Offered us, you know, a path forward and, you know, kind of gave us an opportunity to find a new way with a little bit of time so that we, you know, we could operate with some, you know, forward thinking rather than kind of reacting to the moment. And so, you know, that I would consider that good news that came from the university level.
You said it was Surprising, though. Why was that?
Well, you know, you don't know. You know, we were in a very serious situation. You know, to where, you know, as that letter from the editors pointed out, you know, the money was going to hit zero. You know, come later this spring, and you know, we're owned by Indiana University, and because that's the situation, they can react however they want to react. And you know, as I told a lot of people, I thought that I was going to be presented with a situation where we needed to figure things out in 3 months, not 3 years. And so that was in the moment, again, as good of news as I could be presented.
Could you talk a little bit, you know, we did mention, but, you know, the biggest impact that you saw the pandemic have on IDS?
Well, yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, our primary source of revenue generating is really twofold. It's, you know, it's advertising relationships with the IU community and the Bloomington community. And then we generate quite a bit of revenue, you know, from events, not just the advertising of events, but we publish a lot of special publications. You know, the most immediate example is of something that had to be canceled was the Little 500. You know, that's a huge event in Indiana University, also a huge revenue generator for us, and you know, that right away canceled. And you know, the advertising community felt an impact right away. You know, businesses are struggling, the towns are struggling, and it's understandable. It's something that's happening to all of us. And then the university itself, you know, events are closed, events aren't happening, events are canceled. And so our two main sources of revenue were hit immediately and hit right away, and made very clear that this was going to be a long-term issue. And so, you know, the university, you know, shut down mid-March, and, you know, right away we knew that there was going to be problems on our end.
Mm-hmm. We know, obviously, that newspapers in general have suffered for a number of years now and have struggled to adapt to the online news industry. How much of these issues at the IDS mirror those sort of larger challenges, and or do you think it's really just kind of specific to the student-led paper?
No, I think it mirrors, because again, we have the setup that we have at IU, to where we have to generate our own revenue, puts us, you know, in the same category, maybe on a smaller scale, but it puts us in the same category as pretty much every news organization, where we're having to adapt to the environment around us. And, you know, a shift to, you know, away from printing, you know, that's something that the IDS has done. They went from 5 days a week to 2 days a week to daily, I mean, to weekly. And so those challenges, there are challenges. And those, there's, you know, in terms of shifting, you know, things to online, you know, those are things that we are accomplishing. We are, you know, at the same time that we are seeing, you know, advertising issues, we're also seeing a gigantic jump in our readership online. And that's kind of helped close the gap in terms of moving advertising from print to online. But it's one of those things that we're still adapting, we're still catching up, and we're still trying to make up ground on that end.
You know, and I know a large university like IU has a lot on their plate, but do you get a sense, you know, from some people that the school really hasn't seen this as a particular urgent issue?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's really hard to make a firm declaration on that, because, again, obviously everyone has a lot of things on their plate. And then I've tried to be very aware of the fact that, you know, we're not special in that instance. You know, we have our issues and we're struggling, but so are a lot of other aspects of Bloomington, of the IU campus. Do I think that it's a concern? I think the response from the university when our issues kind of became public, as they did earlier in the month, at least indicates to me that there is concern and a want from the university to make sure that we can continue to move forward. You know, there aren't answers to be had right now. I would be disingenuous to say that I had the answers in the moment, but I think this, it's at least an acknowledgement that, okay, this is an important part of our university environment, and let's take the time and find a way to find a solution here moving forward.
I mean, because there is such, you know, a legacy paper that's been around like so long, and it's, you know, so many people have been through the program. You know, why is it important for the IDS to exist?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think you need that investment in terms of teaching students journalism, in terms of giving them the practical real world experience of journalism, not just for the educational value in the moment, but to kind of make sure that at the national level that we have the next generation moving forward, you know, to make sure that news continues to exist and that, you know, journalism continues to exist. And so there is that grand, you know, issue that presents itself. But also the IDS has been incredibly successful in terms of the students that it has produced and where these students have gone on to do work, and in terms of the recognition that it has received on a national level. And I think protecting that and making sure that that's still a thing of, you know, that people can hang their hat on, that can be a source of pride, all those things make that a kind of an important thing to keep going.
Jim, thank you so much for taking some time today.
Sure, absolutely.
Jim Rodenbusch is director of the Indiana Daily Student in Bloomington. We'll be back with new guests after a quick break. We're talking about the financial situation at the Indiana Daily Student, a long-running student-run newspaper in Bloomington. If you have questions or comments for the show, let us know on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana. You can also leave us a voicemail at 866-476-3881. That's 866-476-3881. You can also send us high-quality voice messages with our smartphone app called All in Vox Pop. It's free and easy to use. Just search for All in Vox Pop on your phone's app store. I'm Jill Sheridan. Back in 90 seconds, this is All In. This is All In. I'm Jill Sheridan. We're talking today about the Indiana Daily Student, the student-run newspaper at IU Bloomington that's existed for over 150 years. Recent editorials published in the IDS detail its financial situation and warn that the paper might not be sustainable. We'd love your questions and comments on the topic. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at All in Indiana, or leave us a voicemail including your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. You can also send us a voice message through our free smartphone app called All in Vox Pop. Just search for All in Vox Pop on your phone's app store and send us your question or comment, and we'll try to get it onto the show. We're joined now by two guests, two co-editors-in-chief at the Indiana Daily Student, Caroline Anders and Emily Isaacman. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So, Caroline, sort of take us back. Why did you decide to write the editorial that published earlier this month?
Sure, yeah. So as Jim mentioned in some of his answers, the financial issues with the IDS go back way further than this year. We've known that there have been problems for several years. Plans have been pitched and just never really made it all the way up through all of IU's loops and things we had to jump through. So we felt that as the situation got so much more urgent, like Jim mentioned, when the pandemic started and we found out we actually had months until our finances hit zero rather than years, it was just time to be really honest with our readers, tell them exactly what was happening to the best of our ability, and try to create support that way and just show people how urgent the issue was.
Mm-hmm. And Emily, maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, was this a difficult decision to publish? You know, what were the risks of doing it and the potential benefits?
Yeah, so we were pretty clear that we came into the semester knowing that we wanted to publish a letter like this. Like Caroline said, the two of us have just been at the paper for about 3 years. We're both seniors, so since our freshman year, and even in that time, we've kind of noticed some of these things, you know, like plans not moving forward, and some of the issues that the IDS has just been facing for a long time. And in our conversations before we started as co-editors in chief, Jim and others pointed out, you know, the really harsh reality of what the semester was going to be and how we might run out of money at the end of the semester. And no one really knew, and we can try our best to fundraise and to get support, but we knew, you know, partly from our experience as student journalists, that the best way probably to get that kind of support that we needed was to be honest with people and upfront with people about, you know, our readers and our alumni about what we were facing. And so that's what we tried to do. We tried to be as transparent as possible with everything that we knew and we didn't know. And we're happy that we did it, for sure. I think the reaction was definitely really supportive and showed us that was the right decision.
Mm-hmm. Carolyn, maybe you could talk about that, you know, the community reaction, the response to that first editorial. Did you hear from a lot of people who read the paper?
Yeah, we did, actually. It was really amazing and surprising to hear from so many people, not just alumni. I mean, I guess we expected we'd hear from some alumni, but we heard from so many alumni. We heard from folks in Bloomington who read the paper, from professors at IU, from parents of students. We even heard from former sources who were reaching out about, you know, this is so scary, the IDS helped tell my story, that kind of thing. So just a huge outpouring of support from the community. And that was so good to see and just really reassured us, like Emily said, that being really upfront with everyone was the right thing to do in this situation. We also, the letter helped us fundraise more than $100,000 in 2 weeks, including a very generous donation from IU alum Mark Cuban, who donated $50,000 to the IDS. So it helped get the word out there. That was its goal. And we also started hearing from administrators, or at least started being able to get meetings with administrators to talk more specifically about our concerns and what we need from them and what they need from us. So it got the ball rolling again, for sure.
Yeah, 50,000 from Cuban. I didn't realize that. That'll help.
Yeah.
So, you know, you heard from a lot of people. I would imagine that you heard from a lot of people that were really concerned that you were in this situation and didn't really realize, you know, how bad it probably was.
Definitely. We got a lot of people saying, like you said, I didn't realize it was this bad. People were just surprised that we were here already. I think Jim mentioned earlier how we've known that the IDS has been struggling financially for quite some time, you know, just like most other local newspapers across the country. It's just been hard. And with the pandemic, it just really sped everything up. And yeah, people were really concerned, really worried, surprised that no other plans were really being moved on, like we mentioned in our letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people just really didn't know how bad it had gotten. And I think it's surprising, especially to alumni who are getting communications from us to fundraise that are vetted through the school, and they say, you know, oh, this is a fundraising push for the IDS, and they say some nice things about the IDS, and that's great. But when they're getting those communications and then they're hearing, wait, the IDS is on track to literally hit $0 by May, there's a disconnect there that a lot of people pointed out.
Mm-hmm. And there was more with a recent editorial on this, and that was published last Thursday. What happened with the universities since that first letter?
So like Jim explained a little bit, mm-hmm. the university offered us or is allowing us to run at a deficit for 3 years. And at the end of those 3 years, the media school will take on that deficit. They also promised us there will be no immediate changes to professional staff, who are the full-time staff members who help run our newsroom. They're IU employees, but their salaries are paid through the IDS's budget and take up a lot of the IDS's budget. So we'll be allowed to run at that deficit for 3 years, which, again, is great news. It's good news moving forward. But we want to be really clear and emphasize that it doesn't take away from the urgency of the need for us to find a sustainable plan. We don't want to get to the end of those 3 years and still not have an idea of what we need moving forward, because at the end of those 3 years, again, the media school gets to decide what happens with our finances, with our budget. They'll be responsible for that if we haven't figured out how to climb out of that deficit. So,
yeah. And the staff, I mean, you mentioned, you know, you have to obviously have a professional staff as well to help with the operations, things that, you know, student journalists aren't going to do. And that's been an issue, and that takes up a big chunk of the budget. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, so our professional staff are, some of them are people like Jim, who have some responsibilities like managing the business side of the IDS, but also serving as an advisor to us. You know, we're all students and we're serving as reporters and editors, but also managers of our peers, and that can get tricky sometimes. You know, mm-hmm. whether it's a conflict with a reporter on your desk, or it's a news decision. You know, whether to how to publish something. So things like that, we often turn to our advisors for help. And then other people do things like communications with our tech platforms that we use to run our website and sell ads and manage payroll. So it's all these things that are really, you know, that they're IU employees. So they're really like university jobs that students just aren't really equipped to do, mm-hmm. especially on top of our work that we're already doing for the paper.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you could talk about, you know, the role that you, Emily, and Caroline have played together, you know, in the discussions around this so far. I mean, you know, this isn't your typical role either, and you've been kind of sucked into this world.
Yeah, so when we ran to be co-editors-in-chief and we're kind of gearing up for this semester, we knew that we would be involved a little bit more in the financial side of the IDS, just because, again, things had gotten so urgent and we really needed to start getting answers from administrators and all that kind of thing. But generally, the role of EICs is solely focused on, you know, content, newsroom relationships, source relationships. We manage a staff of more than 150 students, so it can be a big job. And then adding on this semester, that kind of financial role, we're still kind of trying to figure out what our place is in these discussions, but we definitely see ourselves as kind of advocates and doing things like publishing letters from the editor and just keeping the community as informed as we can. You know, we're student journalists, so that's what we know how to do. We're going to keep doing that. But another part of it is, you know, us trying to get meetings with administrators. We met with the provost a couple weeks ago, and we've talked to Jim and some of our other professional staff, like Ruth Whitmer, a lot about, you know, it's important for people to see who actually has something at stake here. You know, we see this as a Bloomington issue. The community has something at stake if the IDS stops functioning the way it does, but the students are the ones who have the faces that can, you know, go sit in front of administrators and explain why we need this and why it's so important to us. So our role has been explaining the situation to our readers, but also getting FaceTime with the people who have the power to make these decisions and trying to push the talks along.
I would imagine that you've learned a lot about real world business then.
Absolutely.
Journalism in the past couple of weeks. Have you looked into other school newspapers around the state, around the country, to see how they've solved similar problems? Because certainly you're not the only ones.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a board of alumni who've been looking at this for a while now, and they did a report in 2018 that included research from other similar student papers at similar types of universities, and it had all these ideas for how we could start to solve our financial problem. Some of those include student fees, like requiring a few dollars from all students on campus that would fund our budget, or a subscription, I'm not sure. I think those are the two that first come to mind. So we kind of have a list of options that we've taken from other schools, and we're proposing to administrators right now to try and see what would be feasible here, what would be doable given our university's constraints and ability.
Yeah, a big piece of that also is that, to our understanding at least, and to many of our alumni's understanding, the IDS is in a really unique situation where almost every avenue, every avenue we could use to raise money has to be approved by some kind of board or committee that we cover in the paper. Other student papers seem to have a little bit more autonomy in making some financial decisions. That's not true across the board, but it seems to be a little bit more true. So we're running into some issues that some of our peers just haven't run into. So talking about like using student fees would be a great option, but the approval process to do that at IU is much more complicated than it is at other universities and colleges. So we've run into those issues. We're trying to figure out how to kind of untangle this and get ourselves a little bit more autonomy over our finances. But yeah, like Emily said, we've been just looking around, seeing what other people are doing. But a big part of this is that there's no guide to do this. No one has found the one answer or an insanely successful model. If any student newsroom did, it'd be super helpful for all local newsrooms, but we're just not there.
Yeah, reach out, let us know. Is there any takeaway or main lessons that you think you might have learned, you know, looking at these other newspapers that could apply for IDS?
I think one big thing is how much we need some sort of outside support from our university, whether that's in, putting in a new rule. I'm not sure if that's the right term, but something to say that that all students have to pay student fees, or giving us some money to get started with a new model. Like we can't do this alone. It hasn't worked elsewhere, just by like selling more ads or doing something more internally. What we need is really a big structural change. And that's been really apparent from looking elsewhere.
Yeah, it's really important for schools to recognize how important their student papers are. We're lucky to work at such a large student paper and one that does get some recognition in awards and things like that. But all student papers need their administration to see that they're doing important work for their students and their community, and make an investment, probably a financial investment, into, making sure that newsroom has a sustainable future.
Mm-hmm. How long has the paper been around exactly? It was 153 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
And you have both been with the paper for 3 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned, that you have, that the paper is so well recognized, and so many journalists, have made their mark to start there. Have either of you won any awards?
Emily has won several awards, and she also published an investigation last semester that it was about a professor who had been repeatedly reported for sexually harassing students, And after she published that investigation, the professor resigned, and it definitely caused some waves around the university.
Yeah, I remember reading that. Was I can certainly see the impact from that type of investigative journalism. And I'd like to, you know, dig into that a little bit, both of your past when we return. We're joined by the two co-editors in chief of the Indiana Daily Student, Caroline Anders and Emily Isaacman. We will be back after a quick break. This is All In. I'm Jill Sheridan. Back now to our discussion on the Indiana Daily Student, a student-run newspaper at IU Bloomington that's existed for over 150 years. Recent editorials published in the IDS detail its financial situation and warn that the paper might not be sustainable. As always, we'd love to hear your questions or comments. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at All In Indiana, or leave us a short voicemail with your first name and where you're calling from at 866-476-3881. And we're joined again by the two co-editors-in-chief at the Indiana Daily Student and the authors of these editorials, Caroline Anders and Emily Isaacman. So we were talking before the break about a little bit of the history of the paper, and we do have a listener voicemail from T.A. who has some comments about the paper's history and its role at IU. So let's go ahead and listen to that now.
Hi, this is T.A. from Indianapolis. I was in Bloomington back in the late 60s and the early 70s, and the Indiana Daily Student was such an integral part of the university. Its contributions to academic freedom and freedom of speech on campus cannot be underestimated. In the spring of 71, we faced some issues involving a story of a speaker's bureau being introduced into the university. And for those of us who came out against it, if we would not have had the coverage from the Indiana Daily Student, I'm not sure we could have succeeded in keeping the university from getting a very black eye. Freedom of speech and academic freedom go hand in hand with the Indiana Daily Student, and a way simply has to be found to keep it going. Thank you so much.
Well, that's nice to hear. That comment about independent journalism, you know, do you think this is still true? What role does the IDS play, you know, on campus today, especially today, around such contentious political issues that we're all facing now?
Definitely, I think it's still true. I mean, we have student groups or individual students come to us all of the time with concerns about something going on in the administration or something going on in the department where they're majoring, and we're able to look into those issues for them and figure out what's going on, and just generally inform people on important things. Like IU student government had a referendum on vote on Friday that would add seats to their Congress specifically for multicultural organizations. And we covered that story to make sure people knew to check their email and vote in those. So it's more straightforward things like that. But also to your question, I guess, about general freedom of speech and everything, you know, we're here to make sure students have a place to have their voices heard. And if they aren't getting that somewhere else, or they feel like administrators or whoever it might be, professors, aren't listening to them, we're a place they can come, and we'll always look into whatever they're telling us. Mm-hmm.
You know, how did you get involved in student journalism? Has this always been a passion for you? I mean, we journalists know it's not an easy business, and obviously more difficult all the time. So talk a little bit about your background.
Yeah. So my background, I actually started college as a dance major. I was not majoring in journalism, not studying it, but I'd always been interested in news. I loved reading the news, and I loved writing. And in my first semester, I heard someone say that you could join the paper, and they would teach you, and you would, you know, learn how to write stories and interview and publish your work. And so I started, and I learned so much that first semester and just absolutely loved it. You know, I loved like being around everyone in the newsroom. I loved like getting to learn more about my campus and the Bloomington community, and just talking to people that I wouldn't have otherwise met. And then, yeah, I just became more and more involved. I switched my major. from dance to journalism and political science, and that's kind of how I'm here. So I not only view the IDS as a critical source of news for IU and Bloomington, but also just such an important place to train student journalists and people who don't know if they want to be journalists, but just want to try it and want that experience. You know, we have a lot of people who aren't journalism majors, and the IDS has been like a real learning lab for them.
For you too, Emily?
Yeah, for sure.
Can I have you talk a little bit about how the IDS has adapted during the pandemic? I mean, you touched on it a little bit there. You know, that's what I miss most is just being in the newsroom and being around people, you know. What are some of the main changes?
Yeah, that's what we miss the most, too. So a year ago, before the pandemic started, Emily and I were both managing editors at the paper. And when the pandemic started, when our spring break, you know, got extended 2 weeks, and then we found out, no, it wasn't really spring break. Classes were never coming back like we'd seen them. And we're still online a year later. Everyone was forced, just like in every local newsroom, to adapt really quickly. We moved all our operations online. No one was working in the newsroom. We were still meeting, but over Zoom. Our reporters were still reporting, but on phone calls and Zoom calls instead of going out and being able to talk to people. And another super important part about that is a lot of our students aren't from Indiana. So people had gone home and were in different time zones, working from home, reporting on Bloomington, but living in California or wherever. So it was a huge change for us. But I think we really stepped up, and as all of our lives were changing so significantly, we had reporters doing really important work, telling people about COVID cases in Bloomington, and everything, every update we could possibly get, we were publishing, even though everyone was adapting to online classes and moving back in with their parents and doing all the crazy stuff that everyone in the world was doing. But we were trying to get the news out to people.
Maybe you could talk, you know, a little bit about one of you, the unique structure of the IDS, being editorially independent but financially reliant on the universities. You know, what are some pros and cons of that? And does that make it, you know, more difficult sometimes?
So, like you said, we're editorially independent, so that means students make all decisions about coverage, about what we're publishing, who we're talking to, what goes in stories, what photos we're using, what goes in the paper each week. All of those decisions are made by students. We have student editors. We have the two of us who are co-EICs, and then we have a staff of student managing editors and creative and digital directors. So we oversee all of those editorial operations. And then, yeah, so we're a bit financially dependent on the university as well. And I think really that comes back to these decisions about our structure and our funding. We can't, even if we found the perfect plan, the two of us wouldn't be able to implement that or move forward with that without support from administrators. So we really need their help and support on that. But that doesn't mean that administrators and people at the university have a say in what we cover, how we cover them when we turn around and write pieces that are sometimes critical of our university administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a really strange dynamic where we're going to administrators for help to make sure the IDS can survive, but at the same time, we're covering them and the decisions they're making that affect students on a daily basis. So that's a big challenge of this model. The biggest thing I've learned in the past couple months is how dependent we are on the university for a lot of these decisions. Because we always talk about the IDS as an independent student newsroom, and I don't think it clicked for me until very recently that we're independent in a really specific way. We're not fully independent, because if in 3 years we don't have a sustainable plan and we're still at a deficit, the media school or the university could make big changes to the way the IDS runs, and we wouldn't be able to do anything about that.
Mm-hmm. Has that made it more difficult for you to have conversations with the university about sustaining the paper?
Yeah, I think people have been so far really gracious. I mean, we don't run into administrators who seem hostile or cold because we've covered them critically before. I think we're really lucky that a lot of our admin are on the same page as us, that having independent student journalism and an independent paper is a good thing for everyone, even if it might not be good for them on a certain day. Mm-hmm. So again, we're really lucky in that way, but that's just us. That's just right now. And we don't know anything about future administrators, how this could change. It definitely could make other EICs' life much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. You know, with the update, the recent editorial, the university's response saying that, you know, the 3 years, do you think that's enough to figure this out? And how hopeful are you based on what you've experienced so far?
We think that's enough if we use the time that we're given and we still move forward quickly to find a plan that we think we can put into place. One of our worries when we heard that was that this was going to be something where we just wait for the 3 years to kind of run out, and then we're in a worse position than we are today. Mm-hmm. And still no action because we were given that extra space. So what we're doing right now is really making sure that we're trying to make sure that administrators see these 3 years that we've been given as, you know, our window of time to find a new model and have it go through all the appropriate boards and approvals and really be able to implement that by the end of the 3 years. And I think if we use the time, I think that it would be enough.
Yeah, but an important piece of that is that we haven't used the time in the past. You know, there are three proposals for new financial structures for the IDS that were given to the dean of the media school in fall 2018. And there was a committee forum to talk about those proposals. The committee didn't seem to move forward into implementing them. I know they were discussing pros and cons and things like that. And then when the pandemic hit, the last time that committee met was March 2020. So when we're talking about 3 years, 3 years sounds like a lot of time, but when we look at the pace the process has moved in the past, we're still a little bit nervous that if we can't get everyone on board with understanding that this needs to be taken care of now so that we have 3 years to work out the bugs, we could still be in a bad spot.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that there's probably a lot of talk about what should happen, but there's been some talk at IU about possibly turning IDS into a class. This would save the school a lot of money, I assume. But what impact would that have on the students?
We think that would totally change what the IDS looks like. And one thing that we've been talking about is the difference between the IDS existing and the IDS existing or existing as it has been and existing, you know, in the IDS name, but with a completely different function and operation. And we think if it turned into a class, it just wouldn't have that almost like around the clock collaboration and work from student reporters and editors. And, you know, you wouldn't have, I don't think, those opportunities to just solve problems as students, to make these editorial decisions, to assign a piece of breaking news and tell someone who might be your peer in another setting that they need to get that to you as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And that happens all the time, every day, with the amount of work that we do, meetings we're in and coverage we do. We don't see how that could possibly fit into a class or even multiple classes. And so we think that if the IDS was a class, our coverage would would shrink and the quality would likely decrease.
Yeah, you just can't replicate a newsroom in a class setting. And we're not just training reporters. We have our social media team and we have our photographers and videographers and people doing all kinds of cool digital stuff and learning how to make graphics and interactive graphics mm-hmm. and how to make our website look nice. So there's just no way to copy that format into a class.
Yeah. You know, what would you say to someone who is listening, who is not a student at IU, but and might not, you know, have the background, firsthand experience reading IDS? Why is this an important thing to preserve?
Local journalism preserves democracy by informing the community. It helps build community, too, by connecting people with each other. So even if you don't have a personal stake in the Bloomington community, you probably know someone who does, who has at some point benefited from our newsroom's coverage, we hope, at least. And also, if you care about the press and you care about the future of journalism, you should care about the training that student journalists are getting at the IDS, because the IDS puts people in a good position to go lead, you know, amazing careers and just do important work that stretches way beyond Bloomington and way beyond our campus.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it obviously that's the key. I mean, student journalism is a really important tool for many students to learn and to, you know, enjoy. And it's good that you both have such a passion for the work. That's going to have to be it for today. Carolyn Anders and Emily Isaacson are co-editors in chief at the Indiana Daily Student in Bloomington. Thank you both so much for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Our producers are Drew Dodlin and Micah Yason. Scott Cameron is our managing editor. Adam Gross is our engineer and composed our theme song. If you'd like a podcast of this show or any past show, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us tomorrow for a discussion on homelessness in Indiana to find out how communities are working through winter contingency plans to find solutions for people in housing and services. You can always find us on Twitter and Facebook at All in Indiana. I'm Jill Sheridan. Thanks for listening. This is All In Indiana.